if she wishes. Keep going.
His and such zone must be at the level of the ears while the fingers should be together in a neat position.
All right, when you're in sejda, keep your fingers together in a very neat position.
Only the thumb will be apart. One's legs from the knees to the waist should be at a proper 90-degree angle with the floor. The knees should be spread apart, not touching for the man. The feet should likewise be apart. The toes should be bent.
Yeah, so someone might be able to bend his big toe, but he won't be able to bend his other toes. He bends facing the Qibla whatever he can from his toes. Okay, good. Yeah, all right, so I was really happy that Wingdings had these little thingies here. Okay, so...
I didn't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah. So the... this is the official sign for La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, a girl came to him, she was mute. She could hear, but she was mute, right? So the Prophet wanted to know, they wanted to know if this girl is a Muslim or not. So they asked her, where is your, what do you worship, right? And she went like this. So that means she doesn't worship idols anymore, she worships Allah. And then the Prophet says she's a Muslim. Okay, so when you're doing the tashahud, there you'll see a whole plethora of ways to do this, but put your hand on your knee like so. Okay, put it out like this. And you could move it slightly. All right, and that's how you do your tashahud position. Okay, and as we said, the varieties are there. This, I don't know if you guys could see. Do this, or simply put it up like that. Okay, so all of these various positions are, whatever you would want to make some motion of La ilaha illallah while you're sitting. Okay, keep going.
Keep your hand flat and then you raise your finger on the palm of the Sahaba, putting it on over the elbow, and bring it down again. You punch your hand and keep it flat like so, and you'll keep the index finger inside the fist until you reach the Sahaba, at which point you will point the index finger forward and keep it so, yeah. Lastly, if you have your hand in this position, and you will move your finger gently back and forth throughout the entire gesture. Even if a person will not do any of this, or will be mistaken, the prayer will still be done. The prayer is over after completing the Salam. You turn the head towards the shoulder to the right. Once you begin turning their head upon the pronunciation of the K and the second Salam is excellent. Salam can increase you through the word.
Which means in the mercy of Allah and His blessings.
It is frowned upon to jump away quickly after the prayer to return to one's business. Rather, one should at least make the
istighfar.
Istighfar and recite the intercursi, if not the 33
testimony. Alright, so the right after you pray, what do you say right after you pray? You should say, Astaghfirullah, 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 which means I seek Allah's forgiveness. Because of that makes up for any mistakes in the prayer. Any mistakes that we made in the prayer, you say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Then Ayatul Kursi. We talked about Surah Al-Fatiha. The next most important ayah, verse of Quran, is Ayatul Kursi. All right, which is the throne verse. So you can learn that next. All right, Ayatul Kursi, which is verse, I believe it's 255 in the second surah of Quran. So 255, if I'm not mistaken. But if you type these letters into Google, you should get it, right? And as well, that's something that I could record for you too. I'll put that in there. And then you say the 33s. What are the 33? Subhanallah, 33 times. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, 33 times. Alhamdulillah, 33 times. And then Allahu Akbar, 33 times. These are recommended dhikr, or remembrance of Allah, after the prayer. And then top it off with La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. For now, just put La ilaha illallah. All right, any questions so far? Yep.
They're all 33 or 34?
No, that's before sleeping. Okay. Yeah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. 33, 34, that's before sleeping. Again, recommended act of ibadah.
I noticed in some masjids, they always say subhanAllah whenever they're in ruku. That's when that's the only time they say it. Is that like different sects, or how does that work?
When they're in ruku, they
always say, that's the only time they say subhanAllah.
I don't know. I'm not familiar. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that. Yeah. All right. How's everyone feeling? Should we do this chapter or should we top it off right here? Let's stop here. We have Aisha at 8:30, and then we have some health. I told them to make this food a little more healthy. We keep having this like chugging down oil every Tuesday night. So I asked him for a health option today. So we'll have that after Aisha. But for now, see if you have any questions, and then we can discuss that if you want any clarifications on anything.
I have a question.
Yep.
If you're doing the prayer late.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
And you realize after the sleep mm-hmm. that you need to make a few more problems, I have heard there's an opinion that unless you're talking.
That's correct.
That's
correct, yeah. Let's say I'm coming in for Isha, and I caught this last two rakas out of four. And then when the imam ended the prayer, I also ended the prayer with him. So what do I do? If I didn't talk or break it up, I'll just get up and pray two more rakas. That's it. I've made it up, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, just like what happened last Friday, is that what you were going to ask today? Okay, if the imam makes a mistake in decreasing something, or he skips something, you follow him. You just follow him, and he'll make it up with the last two extra prostrations before salams, which we'll cover here. But if the imam increases in the prayer, you stay seated. Right, you stay seated. Okay, and then wait till he comes back down again, and then he's gonna make the two prostrations. Now those two prostrations, extra prostrations to make up for a mistake, can be before or after the salam. It doesn't matter whether it's before or after the salam. It doesn't matter as long as he makes two extra prostrations after the tashahhud.
Did you break the prayer and start fresh?
If you're following the imam, just follow the imam. And when in doubt, just follow what he's doing. If you're alone, if you're totally confused, then yes, you could. If you totally throw yourself off, you don't know what you're doing, you can exit the prayer. At any time, you can exit the prayer. Let's say, for example, you're praying and there's a child about to swallow a marble. All right, what do you do? In any position you are, you simply say, Assalamu alaikum, and then you run and take care of that emergency, right? And there's no sin in that. As long as it was an emergency, you're not just doing it every day when you feel like it, if there's an emergency. If there's someone who's broke their ankle, or a child's about to swallow something, or fall down the steps, or any such situation, okay? That's an emergency. You can get out of your prayer by saying Assalamu alaikum to your right, and then that's it, you're out of the prayer. Whether you're standing in ruku in any position, and then you come back and start over. Anything else? Yeah.
small area, mm-hmm. a small area for a certain prayer time. You know, in the winter time, you can, not many places you can go. Like, how far do like your footwear have to be from the place of prayer?
How far does your what?
Your footwear, like if you're in a small confined space, like I am sometimes.
You can pray with your shoes on, as long as your shoes are clean. Yeah.
So you can do it right next to you.
Yeah, you can pray with them on. Yeah. Yeah, the Prophet, peace be upon him, always wanted to be distinct from the previous faiths. And so it was the habit of Jews and Christians ever since Moses was at the burning bush. You know the story of the burning bush? That after 10 years in the desert, now God spoke to Moses. Moses was with his family and it was dark. The wind blew out their torch. So they kept walking in the dark. Then Moses saw a fire. So he said, let me go get fire. So he went there and then he heard God talking to him, right? Through that burning bush. And the first order, he said, Moses, I'm your Lord. Take your sandals off when you talk to me. Ever since then, the Jews and Christians have been praying with their shoes off, right? The Prophet, peace be upon him, though, when he went up to the heavens, he remembered that Moses was told to take his shoes off. So what did he do? Before he was told, he started to take his shoes off. But Allah told him, you don't have to do this. Right? To show the real, the rank of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Allah said, you don't need to take your shoes off. So the Prophet came down and he said, we don't have to take our shoes off when we pray. Right? So you can pray with your shoes on. The irony of it is that now, in churches and synagogues, no one takes their shoes off. But in mosques, people do take their shoes off. So it's funny how who ended up following, having those manners with Allah, end up being the Muslims, take their shoes off, right? But before that, in the time of the Prophet, the mosque was just sand, and everyone would walk with their shoes on. So if you visualize the Prophet's mosque, there weren't a whole bunch of sandals at the door, like mosques today, right? Littered with sandals all throughout the door. They didn't have that. They all had their shoes on the whole time, right? So, all right, inshallah, we'll break for Aisha and come back. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu.